Speaker is Emily Beauregard from the Kentucky Primary Care Association. Emily serves as the Director of Planning and Communications for the Kentucky Primary Care Association. Prior to joining the association, Emily worked at a federally qualified health center serving low-income, uninsured residents in Louisville, Kentucky. During this time, she developed a refugee health program, and in her current role, Emily continues to address the issues of language access and barriers to care for vulnerable populations across Kentucky. Emily received an MPH from the University of Illinois Chicago. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here with you all this morning. I will be speaking about the implications of health reform and managed care for refugees and immigrants in Kentucky. And before I get started, I'll just disclose that I have no I'll mention that I have no relationships to disclose. I'll briefly touch on health reform's federal impact, and then I'll provide a quick overview of Kentucky's refugee health program and discuss some specific implications of health reform and managed care in Kentucky. I'll also highlight some of the work my colleagues and I have done since 2007 to address issues of access to care. So it's clear that health reform fails to provide immigrants, especially undocumented immigrants, a right to health care, and in some cases will probably make it more difficult than it is now to access care. However, health reform does make some progress in a number of areas, and I'll discuss these in a few minutes. So while the United States hasn't officially recognized the universal right to health care for all, adopting language similar to what you see up there with the WHO or the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, there are programs, safety net programs, in place in the United States that do in some ways address the right to health care. And certainly it is not comprehensive and it's not enough, but there are programs. I wanted to talk with one about one in particular. It's the Federally Qualified Health Center program, a program in which I've worked, and this is operated by the Bureau of Primary Health Care with a mission to improve the health of the nation's underserved communities and vulnerable populations by assuring access to comprehensive, culturally competent, quality primary health care services. And you can see there's also the mission statement from the health center that I worked at. So the health center movement, actually I'll go back to that for a minute. The health center movement was actually part of the larger civil rights movement in the 60s, and it was conceived by members of the Medical Committee for Human Rights. It actually got started right here in Boston and one of the first health centers. So health centers were created to address the barriers vulnerable populations face in accessing affordable, high-quality health care services. And to do this, health centers provide comprehensive care, including primary care, women's health, behavioral health, dental, lab and x-ray, health education, social services, and pharmacy. They must also provide or ensure transportation, language services, and referral linkages are in place for people so that after getting the primary care that they need, they can also get the other services that they need. So I mentioned this program for two reasons. As part of health reform, the law provides funding to expand the program to double in size, from serving just over 20 million individuals nationwide to over 40 million. And it will continue to be a safety net program for the uninsured even after health reform is fully in effect. We know that health reform is not going to insure everyone, and there will still be a lot of people in need of services that are more comprehensive than your usual primary care doctor. So the other reason that I mention it is that I've lived and worked in Kentucky since 2004, and I've spent most of that time working in the community health center world. At the health center I worked for in Louisville, a colleague and I developed a refugee health program starting in 2007, and that's since expanded across the state. We have three resettlement areas in the state: Bowling Green, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, and Lexington, Kentucky. And I now live in Lexington, actually. I also developed a language services department and a cultural competency committee at the health center. But before I talk more about our work in Kentucky, I wanted to just do a brief overview of the federal implications of health reform. So this table oversimplifies a very complex law, but basically the Affordable Care Act makes progress in a number of areas that benefit most people, and at the same time, it really does fail some vulnerable populations in a pretty major way. So you can see that, you know, there's certainly going to be increased access to preventive care for anyone who is insured, more affordable coverage, more comprehensive coverage, and protections for a lot of populations. And one thing that I like to always mention is that there are provisions for health literacy in the law, and I think that that's really important. It will change more systemically than just for the people who have insurance. So that's one area where I think everyone will benefit. And then there are some setbacks too. And, you know, the main one that is concerning to myself and the Community Health Center program is decrease in safety net funds. We haven't been told that there's going to be a decrease to our safety net funds, but I think that you could probably make that assumption based on the fact that more people are going to have coverage. So what that will be in the future, we don't really know yet. So I think another really important issue, especially for the undocumented immigrants, mainly for them, to increase visibility of the uninsured. And, you know, as people who remain uninsured seek care in emergency rooms or at community health centers, it will be more likely that the uninsured are potentially undocumented, and that may cause some issues depending on the politics of a particular area and whether someone wants to seek care. There's also a 5-year waiting period for lawfully present immigrants. So even if you're in the country legally, it's 5 years before you can get Medicaid or CHIP benefits. And so this is a big barrier. Now in Kentucky, that may be changing. It is a state option to remove that for children and pregnant women. And then, of course, undocumented immigrants cannot purchase anything on the exchange, although they can purchase private plans. So this is just a quote that I found in an article, a Reuters article, that said, you know, a senior Obama healthcare advisor actually acknowledged that the law could expose immigrants, that they're aware of it, and it's a negative trade-off. It's not quite universal coverage, but and, you know, it's a consequence that they didn't feel they could do anything about. So the next couple of slides provide some data to help us put this into context. Here you'll see the percentage of uninsured adults who will be eligible for some type of reduced cost coverage. Kentucky has one of the highest levels of eligibility. You can see it's dark red. That's over 65% if you can't see the key. And that means that over 65% are eligible for Medicaid or some sort of subsidy. So even more people are eligible to actually purchase in the exchange or may have, you know, employer insurance. So clearly we're going to have a lot of people covered, but then some very visible people uncovered. And of course, the real story isn't who isn't eligible for coverage. So looking at the projected distribution of adults who will remain uninsured, we see that almost 25% are undocumented immigrants, and this is a national figure. So I think that in Kentucky it could be higher than that, since so many people are going to be eligible for the exchange. And I should have mentioned that Kentucky did choose to have a state-based exchange, so we operate our own exchange, and we did expand Medicaid. So let's see, I want to talk a little bit more about Kentucky's impact now. I forgot whenever I was talking about that to mention a few more things about the uninsured in Kentucky. Right now, according to the Urban Institute, Kentucky's uninsured will be approximately 6-8% even after Medicaid expansion. And the uninsured distribution will be primarily urban and undocumented. Kentucky currently has a foreign-born population of somewhere between 3-4%, so fairly small compared to other states. In Louisville, our largest city, it's closer to about 6%. and at family health centers where I worked for 7 years, 20% of our patients spoke languages other than English, and I would assume that more were foreign-born. According to the Pew Hispanic Center, more than half of the foreign-born population in Kentucky is undocumented. So health centers truly are a safety net for immigrants and refugees. Now I'll talk a little bit about our refugee health program. Kentucky currently resettles around 2,500 refugees annually in those three settlement areas, which is a lot for a state with a population of just over 4 million. Here you'll see countries of origin for most of these individuals. Oops. And I also have another graph that shows that the main numbers are Cuba, Burma, Bhutan, Iraq, Somalia, Congo, and then there are a number of others. So our obligation is to provide 8 months of health insurance coverage and a comprehensive screening upon arrival. But the Refugee Health Program really provides much more to these individuals than just access to health care. And I actually have more on here. These are all resettlement services, not just the health-related ones. But I just wanted you to see the comprehensive amount of services that refugees do get upon arrival. But with these, with health care in particular, 8 months of coverage is really not a lot. By the time that you get to the States and get resettled and have your screening and get referrals, you are pretty much at the end of your 8 months and may not have gotten all the care that you've needed. So if you are eligible for Medicaid, of course, you can continue on Medicaid coverage. But what you can see here is that in 2012, about 50, not quite 50% of new arrivals were enrolled in Medicaid, which means that the others were on an insurance that is called HCC. I can't at the moment remember what that stands for, but it's essentially traveler's insurance. And this traveler's insurance is not very good. It doesn't have a good network of providers. It doesn't provide very comprehensive services and almost no preventive services. So, you know, there's going to be, with Medicaid expansion, this is going to change drastically. And I just, before I move on, I wanted to mention that a lot of the medical or the health-related services that we provide that go beyond just the health coverage, the insurance coverage, health education, assistance navigating the system, and medical caseworkers that really work very closely with people. The Kentucky Office for Refugees has also worked to improve many of the referral services refugees need, such as TB treatment, immunizations, behavioral health, and trauma-related care for survivors of torture. And so all of this takes funding that goes above and beyond that, just access to health insurance. So, and here are some of the implications that we're expecting for refugees. Because there is that additional funding needed for these other services, the health education, the medical caseworkers, we're expecting that there's going to be a drop in funding from the Office for Refugee Resettlement. And at this point, you know, the Association of Refugee Health Coordinators has really just begun to realize these implications, and they sent a letter to the ORR recently asking for clarification and advocating on behalf of their programs. So far, they've only been told that funding won't change for 2014, but there are indications that in the future, you know, based on the number of people on Medicaid, you'll have a lower, you won't get as much in the administrative funding that they supply through those grants. And that's where a lot of this additional work comes in. So in most ways, Medicaid expansion will be a huge improvement, but there are going to be some drawbacks. There are also some other human rights implications that we expect in Kentucky, and especially for other immigrants and undocumented immigrants. I put up on this slide that Kentucky is waiving the 5-year waiting period for legally present immigrant children starting in January, and I have gotten some different answers about pregnant women. At the time I made the slide, I was told that they were not going to lift that, but it sounds like that it may be an option in the future. So we may be making a little bit more progress there than we had thought. There's also improved access to interpreters. Our managed care, which just came into the state about 2 years ago, actually provides interpreters, which has been a big improvement for us because, of course, it takes the burden off the primary care provider and means that the individual is much more likely to get good care. Written materials are often in plain language now, especially from the managed care companies. It's a requirement for them now, and from the qualified health plans. And more often, they're being translated. And also, there's the state-based exchange is a much more simplified system than we currently have, and a system that an individual can do on their own or get application assistance with, and don't have to necessarily go to a state office. And then emergency Medicaid. That's something that is actually going to expand as far as the eligibility. More people will get covered, but it's certainly not comprehensive coverage. So then the setbacks, of course, I've talked about to some extent. Managed care, we have seen some barriers as far as pre-authorizations and limited formularies, specifically for some of the medicines that refugees really need. And then network adequacy, we expect to be a problem, which means that there may not even be as many safety net providers for undocumented immigrants, and less access to specialty care and non-emergency services for those undocumented immigrants. So I just wanted to quickly share some of the work that we've been doing. This is an easy handout that we provide now to a lot of the patients that we see at different community health centers, and we're actually disseminating this more broadly with all of the people who are doing enrollment for Kentucky, and it just shows your status as far as immigration and what you may be eligible for. We're also working on a document that will, and these are just a lot of the partners that we work with, we're working on a document that will be an educational about getting on emergency Medicaid and how to access safety net providers. And I think that my time is up, so I'll probably leave it at that. And if you all have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.